This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture. I'm Dashrin Johan. World Vision Malaysia has been running the 30-hour famine fundraiser for 25 years. This year will be no different. Well, maybe a little different, as 30-hour famine will be going virtual. So today we are going to be talking about fighting poverty and hunger through fasting and what we can expect from 30-hour famine 2020. So who better to talk to than the CEO of World Vision Malaysia, Daniel Boy. Hello, Daniel. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dashrin. Glad to be here.
So before we get to the new normal, right, let's talk about World Vision Malaysia. The organization was set up in Malaysia in 1997. Tell us about what the organization is all about.
Well, Dashrin, World Vision Malaysia is actually part of an international partnership. So globally, we did not begin in 1997. We started during the Korean War, 70 years ago, 1950. Now, that Korean War, we have millions of people lost their lives, lost their homes. And then we have hundreds of thousands of people who are suddenly made homeless, you know, orphans, you know. And then our founder, Bob Pierce, he found himself in a situation where you have hundreds of thousands of children who are orphans, you know, that parents may be somewhere missing or they've died. They have no homes, no hope, no future, no nothing. And what he did was that he was a very good filmmaker. He did a lot of movies, Tobacco America, and got people to help them. So he built orphanages and all that. Mm-hmm. Now today, we are after 70 years, we are in 100 countries. And we think that we want to help the most vulnerable of the vulnerable. And the most vulnerable are basically children. And in these 70 years, we are very thankful that World Vision has impacted the lives of about 200 million children positively. Now, just mention three main things we do. Number one, we do community transformation. Now, we don't believe in giving money or giving, you know, things in kind.
Right.
We believe in working with a vulnerable community for the long term, you know, maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years, so that they can bring themselves out of poverty. Hmm. That means we don't give them things. We teach them in the areas of sanitation, education, livelihood, and whatnot, you know, so that they can bring themselves out of poverty. So there's one, community development, community transformation. Number two is emergency relief. For example, there's a tsunami somewhere or earthquake. We want to be there within 1 or 2 days. And so we've been all over the world. And then thirdly, we do advocacy. Now, this is very important because we want to give a voice to those who don't have a voice. Some people, you can help them and to improve their education, but they cannot get out of the prison, no? The bondage that the societal infrastructure prevents them from going further. So we want to speak for them. So we are here to, we want to protect children and promote justice. And so we raise funds for vulnerable children in other countries, but within Malaysia, the poorest state is Sabah. Hmm. And then we work with 20 rural villages. One is in Mukim Tulit, which we started in 2014. The other one is Mukim Tatalan, which we started in 2017. So that's basically the background behind the World Vision.
And perhaps the biggest initiative that World Vision Malaysia does is the annual fundraiser known as 30-Hour Famine. Some people call it Famine 30, where people, in this event, people come together and fast for 30 hours. The event typically attracts around 20,000 or so participants annually. So what inspired World Vision Malaysia to start 30-Hour Famine?
Well, Dashrin, you mentioned that you visited one of the one of these 30-hour famine.
Yeah, I think around 3 years ago. Yeah,
and you must remember that the whole atmosphere was very electrifying. Yes. And we have all these people performing pro bono, you know.
Yep.
And then we got, and it's a totally energizing and motivating because we've been raising minimum of 2 million ringgit to help these people in the vulnerable countries. Mm. But 30-hour famine did not start in Malaysia. Mm. See, the story is like that. You know, 1971, one group of youngsters in Calgary, Canada, they saw TV programs about the famine in Ethiopia, and they really fell for it. They said, okay, let's do something. So they found an empty place and a basement in some church somewhere in Calgary, and they raised funds for it. And all the funds they gave to World Vision, And this caught on in the other countries. So this has been very much a part of World Vision since 1971. Various countries have been having this 30-hour famine. In fact, some countries have 40-hour famines, you know. So in Malaysia, we started in 1997, and we embarked on it immediately. So much so that the past couple of years, 2 years ago, our attendance was nearly 29,000. So we've been having that kind of numbers past couple of years. Now, you also use the word biggest initiative.
Right.
Well, biggest initiative in the sense that it's an event that many people can see. And you ask many young people, because most people who go out, they are quite young, you know, several decades younger than me. So many of them heard of 30-hour famine, but not World Vision. So in that sense, it's biggest initiative, so to speak. No? But actually, like I said just now, we have community development, emergency relief, advocacy. For example, community development, we go through this format of child sponsorship. Now, child sponsorship, you know, Malaysians are so generous, you know. You know, Malaysia, there are a total of 40,700 sponsors sponsoring more than 60,000 children.
Wow.
In various countries, you know.
Yeah. It is something great. And I love what you also brought up, that a lot of people, they know 30-hour famine, but they may not know World Vision Malaysia, because that's how recognizable of a brand 30-hour famine has become. So you also touched on how there are performances at the event. And, you know, the atmosphere, I agree with you, it's robust, it's electrifying. But what else goes down during the event?
You see, a lot of things happen. That's why, if you ask me, how long do we take to plan for one? Let me tell you this. We plan for the next one immediately after the old one, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe 1 week's rest, you know. Because this one is not just raising funds, you know. It's raising awareness to people who are young and telling them that, frankly, life is only worth living if you're living for another person. And to put this into the minds of young people and start them young, you know, we started more than 20 years ago. Some of these young people, they are already working adults. And then I met one girl who was about 15 years old. I said, how long have you been? He said, many years already. You know, so we find it very powerful. And we want to acknowledge, when we first started, you know, we want to acknowledge at this point in time, Sinchu Daily, they were very much supporting us, helping us even till today. And over the many years, it's no longer an event. Hmm. It's a movement. Now, back to your question. 1 year before the actual event happens, we contact a lot of people. Then we appoint camp leaders. And these camp leaders are students, you know, form 5, form 4. And they organize campus, you know, a few hundred of them.
All volunteers, right?
Yeah, all volunteers. And they're again, full of excitement and full of very electrifying, you know. And then we have camps, DIY camps. And then there we train them. For example, let's say this year we are raising money to help this country. We show them about this country. We tell them what's happening there. We're telling them, you know, sometimes we miss McDonald's because out of stock. But these guys, maybe they don't know where the next meal is coming from.
Yeah.
And we also tell them, for example, in Africa, Africans spend more than 100 million hours per day looking for water, not necessarily clean water. Now, in that kind of situation, you know the kind of happiness you bring to the village when you have clean, filtered water. It may benefit 1,000 people. And we have many videos of people seeing clean water for the first time. So, number one, if you have clean water, means you can go to school. Because you spend hours walking just to get water. Number one, you can go to school.
Hmm.
Number two, waterborne diseases, many of which, a big proportion of it will go away. And then you can have proper sanitation. You can clean your house, you can grow plants and whatever. So we educate them during these DIY camps.
Yeah.
And then during the 30-hour famine, 30 hours pass by very quickly because we again have training, we have got exercises.
Activities.
And then we got activities non-stop, you know. When time to sleep, they don't sleep. And not only that, you know. And then on the second day of the 30-hour famine, you don't have the famine ambassador who is some famous celebrity from somewhere. We have local celebrities who are household names, and we have 40, 50 of them who are there, not just performing, you know. They share the testimony. Some of them went to visit some of these places where people are vulnerable, they come back and share. So it's a non-stop, you can say it's excitement, but it's education, awareness, yeah. You know, awareness, it sticks with you, you know, the awareness that you can do something about it.
Yes.
You can be young, you can do something. What you do today is going to help thousands of people.
That's fantastic. But here's the thing. You guys are in a bit of a conundrum this year, right? Because of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, the last thing we want is for people to gather in large numbers. We don't want 20,000 people doing activities together and all that. But that doesn't appear to slow you guys down, as you've got something a little different planned this year. So tell us about that.
When you've been doing these big events for all these years, and now we cannot even shake hands. So this year, we're going to call it 30-Hour Famine Home Edition.
Home Edition. Okay, so it's going virtual, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think most of us here listening in, I'm sure you've done a lot of virtual things the past couple of months, you know. And you find that some of them, frankly, you know, are even more exciting. 30 hours, we're going to start 1st August at 2 p.m. at the 2nd August, 8 p.m., 30 hours. So it'll be non-stop of various things that we are doing, that we used to do, education, activities, and whatnot.
Yeah, okay. So I want to get into that a little bit, right? Because, you know, this idea sounds exciting, 30-hour famine goes virtual, but I'm not yet clear of what exactly is going to go down. So 30-hour famine in general, even before this, was where people gather and they fast together and then they do activities. So now people are going to be at home with their laptops. What do they do? Do they shake hands with their parents and say, let's make a pact, let's fast for the next 30 hours? Is that going to be it? How is this going to play out?
Yeah, so we got all sort of minds thinking about it, and we're thinking, if you are in a with an electrifying crowd of thousands and then you fast, no big deal. But now you're with your mommy and your father, you know, and then maybe your dog. So fasting is different. So this year, for example, we have a team that went to Mongolia. We want to highlight, for example, Mongolia, because we're looking at a few countries this year we're going to have. One is Democratic Republic of Congo, and then India, China, Mongolia, Myanmar, and Vietnam. So when Mongolia is a country we have not highlighted for a while, and then and there are many facets of poverty there, you know. So one team went to see this family. He was really very, very vulnerable. So we're going to show how they live, show what they eat. And as part of the activities, they're supposed to cook. They don't need to fast.
Okay.
But you are supposed to cook your own food with only 20 ringgit.
Oh.
A Mongolian type of food. So what are you going to cook with 20 ringgit? And then we have some recipes for you so that they have to think out of
okay.
the coconut.
Yeah, that's interesting. So just to get a very clear picture, when people join this event, there will be things going on their laptop during this event for 30 hours.
Oh, yeah. So you see, August 1st, So August 1st, 2 p.m. until August 2nd, 8 p.m., the programs are non-stop. Every hour, there's something going on. And then before they go to this this event, they are asked to download Telegram. And then we will communicate with them through Telegram. And then we are giving them e-guidebooks. And then you can click and then see videos. And then activities tell you what to do. For example, one activity is to build a Mongolian, they call it girl, no? They know the tent, the round tent, to build it. And then one activity is to build a place for you to sleep, not mattress, you know, with whatever you can get, things like that. So,
right.
So a lot of activities that make you get into the lifestyle of poor people in Mongolia, you know. And then there are several videos we actually shot there. So I think it's very exciting.
I think so too. 30 hours of activities where participants can learn about global issues relating to hunger and poverty. It's a little different from what you guys do normally, but it still sounds really worthwhile. Okay, we do need to take a quick break, but when we come back, Daniel and I will talk about the theme of 30-hour famine, as well as how much World Vision Malaysia aims to raise during this event and where these funds will be channeled. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture. I'm Dashran Johan and I'm joined by the CEO of World Vision Malaysia, Mr. Daniel Bowie. And we are talking about the organization's annual fundraising event, 30 Hour Famine, and which is going virtual this year. So you could have easily not done this event at all because of the global pandemic. So what pushed you guys to go, no, this is important, we need to find a way to make this work? Where did y'all find the encouragement and the motivation to go virtual and to keep the event running?
You see, World Vision Malaysia, we exist for others. Mm. We don't exist for ourselves. And working with the vulnerable means you may be doing things that are inconvenient for you. But it's not the point. The point is, how do we best do what we need to do so that we can help those who are really vulnerable? And now with the pandemic, it's worse still. We did a very rapid assessment in 24 countries. Hmm. And we find that there are 85 million households in Asia that have limited food stocks or no food stocks at all. 85 million. And then you have, there's households of which you have 110 million children going hungry. And because of this, 8 million children, they have been pushed into child labor or even child marriage because the parents, they cannot afford to buy food because you cannot work. You cannot go out of the house. And you know, Malay, we have a proverb, kais pagi makan pagi. But this kais jam makan jam, you know, this is a situation. No? And then, now 8 million is not just a number, it's 8 million lives. Right. And therefore, pandemic or no pandemic, and with the pandemic, even more so,
right?
They need help. So we have to somehow come up with a way to help.
So this year's 30-hour famine's theme is Break the Limits. Why did you choose this theme? I mean, what limits are you guys trying to break?
Actually, every limit. You know, for example, okay. Now, I'm very happy to say over the past 70 years, World Vision has impacted the lives of 200 million children. And globally, of course, World Vision is not the only organization. There are many others who are working in poverty. Poverty has been reduced over the many decades, you know. But still more. And then this COVID-19 presents new challenges. And there will be new mutations in future. You know? So what, how do we break limits, our own World Vision limits? How do we get more beneficiaries, more participants to help these vulnerable communities? And then the other breaking of limits will be the vulnerable communities. How do they break out of poverty? You see, in the past, we plan to work about 15 years in each community. That means after 50 years, they are okay. They graduate. So to speak, they can take care of themselves in terms of livelihood, earning a living, clean water, sanitation, education, and advocacy. But now we are shortening, you know, to 10 years and even below. So we want them to even do better, you know, how to break their limits in terms of getting proper shelter and taking care of themselves medically and whatnot. And thirdly, the participants. I mentioned just now that this has become a movement. And this, I tell you, these guys, they may look innocent, 14-year-old, but these guys full of energy and they're full of ideas. And if you plant this into them, you no telling what can happen. I was very moved about 2 years ago. I went to visit one hospital. And this hospital, the CEO, she said that out of every baby delivered at the hospital, they're going to contribute a certain amount of money to World Vision. And then she said that she started as a student. When she was studying overseas, she was involved. And now she's the CEO of this hospital, being a medical doctor herself. And she continuing this. So there's no telling, you know. So we have to spread awareness among young people. They can break the limits.
Yeah.
We also want to break. And even the vulnerable community. So breaking limits is very apt.
Yeah. I think that's a good theme right there. How many participants are you guys expecting? Because as we talked about earlier, y'all usually get 20,000 a year. And you said, it was 28,000 at one of the years, right? But now it's going virtual. So different sort of participation, how many are y'all expecting?
Okay. Let's say, I won't use the word expect, okay? Because our team is breaking the limits. So let me just say.
It's a target.
Yeah, our target, was and still is 40,000 participants. Why 40,000 instead of 20,000? Because now, in the past, they raise money, you know. These camp leaders, all these participants, they raise money. Now, they pay a fee. That means you go to our website, which is 30hourfamine.my. 30 as in 30, 30hourfamine.my. You go there, you just participate. If you don't want a T-shirt, it's 30 ringgit. One T-shirt is 60 ringgit. Hmm. Now, you divide it, work backwards, we need 40,000 participants. 40,000 participants, and we target 2 million ringgit. Now, you tell me, how much do you expect? We want to break the limit, so the target remains the same.
Okay.
And we are working hard and hoping that in this case, Malaysians are still the same. They always do things at the last minute.
How many participants do you all have now? Is the registration open already?
Yeah. You can actually see it at our website.
Okay.
You know? Let's put it this way. Malaysians seem to do things really at the last minute. Now, but let me say this.
Right.
Again, right now, the number of participants is less than 2,000. Now, if you look at 40,000 and the number of participants is now less than 2,000. Now, let me say to all those listeners, if you are 60 years old or 80 years old, or like our ex-prime minister, 95 years old, you can participate by not being a participant. You can also just give a donation, whether it's 10 ringgit or 10,000 ringgit. Now, the website is very, very simple. It's 30hourfamine.my. 30hourfamine, one word, 30hourfamine.my. And you can just donate. And for those of you who want to have a lot of fun, you're young people or even old people, okay, you can participate as a participant. So it's 30 ringgit without a T-shirt, 60 ringgit with a T-shirt. But you do not wish to participate, you do not wish to have a T-shirt, you want to donate 1,000 ringgit, for example, you can do so.
Mm.
And even though I said we want to be very positive, we want to break all the limits, but our target has been 40,000 participants, and now we have less than 2,000, and we are 2 weeks away. This is very challenging, you know, within 2 weeks, you know, how are you going to get 38,000 participants?
I think it's a good cause.
Yeah.
Let's come together, join this event, and
yes,
do what we can
for the
needy, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so this then might be a little bit of a tough question, maybe. How are y'all planning to convince people to participate in this fundraiser, to pay the 30 ringgit or the 60 ringgit, when a lot of people themselves might be stressing out about the turbulent times that we are in right now? They might be stressing out about their own financial situations. Some people are losing jobs. How do you all plan to go about it?
Well, Dashrin, I think that is an excellent question. What happens on the ground, what happens in actuality, will sometimes blow our minds. This is from my very own experience and the experiences of what I see. In the past or even now, in times of great economic distress, when the need is there, people give. Frankly, you know, I mean, Malaysia is a very, very blessed country. I've been to the most vulnerable places in Malaysia. And if you compare them to some of the other communities out there, we are relatively very, very well endowed.
Mm.
And from my past experiences, when people lose their jobs and then we visit a vulnerable community in a vulnerable country, and I travel with them, and once we see what's going on, we give because we are okay. So, and in this case, it's 30 ringgit and 60 ringgit. I know kids, they lose a 50 ringgit bill. Sometimes they don't bother to look for it. I'm not saying this to poke fun, but this is reality. When there's a real need and people really know about it, people do give. It is only 30 ringgit or 60 ringgit. Therefore, again, I want to urge our listeners to do your bit. If you can.
Earlier you said that your target, we were talking about it just now, is 2 million ringgit with the hopes that 40,000 participants. What will y'all be using these funds for? Where will y'all be channeling it to?
First of all, countries, I'll just repeat, Democratic Republic of Congo, which is really, really, many people live in poverty. China, in spite of their progress, there are millions and millions in the countryside, and then you have India, you have Mongolia, Myanmar, and Vietnam. Now, we work in various sectors. When we do community transformation, we do education, advocacy, and so on. But for this year's 30-hour famine, we're just looking at two. That means number one is livelihood. How do they make a living to support their families? You know, that's very, very important. And then how to have clean water and sanitation. So two things, with emphasis on livelihood and clean water sanitation. Now, for example, a lot of people, they can be farmers for generations, but they don't really know that there are better ways of planting. And then we also want to give access to safe drinking water. I mentioned just now, you can see the faces of the people when they've clean water for the first time. So we want to do that. And then access to sanitation. For example, in India, 53% of the people practice open defecation, no? Because of various challenges. So if they have proper sanitation, you find that the rate of diseases drop drastically. And then we also want to strengthen the skills and knowledge of the farmers. We also want to establish proper disaster risk response plans for all these countries. Now, this is what about Malaysia? Yeah, Malaysia, we also work with other NGOs. There are many NGOs like the Fuji School, Good Shepherd Services, El Sharai Center, Suka Society, Dual Blessing, Yayasan Sinchu. They have been working with some migrants, some local people, giving them skills, providing nutritious lunches for poor students. Some of them, they help children who are not documented because somehow they're not documented. No?
Yeah.
And then people who are handicapped. And then also, we also have the work in Sabah, I mentioned. We work in 20 over villages, 23, if I'm not mistaken, where we work with the people in the jungle. You drive three hours from Kota Kinabalu, then you reach one town, you drive another 3 hours to do this. So we work with this, and we also work into areas of health and nutrition, education, livelihood, and child protection. So all this money raised will go to all this.
So we are running a little bit short on time here. So let's just go back to a little bit of a fun question. Like we talked about earlier, the closing moments of the on-ground event of the 30-hour famine, right, is usually this huge extravaganza with performance by international artists, local celebrities, etc. And is there something similar planned for this virtual event?
Oh, yes. Now, if I'm a young guy, 15 years old, that would be my first question. So you see, in a normal event where it's a physical event, 30 hours at the stadium, it's just nonstop. You have all these very electrifying events, you know, mini events within the events. So what we have is we have quite a few things going on. But the last 2 hours, on the 2nd of August, we're going to have performances by our local... Now, these local celebrities are household names.
Can you name a few?
A lot. If I remember only 47 of them, I wouldn't do favor to the other three, you know. So there are about 50 of them. So they are household names. And then the DJs, they are also household names. And they are there. And then the last half an hour or so will be our ambassador. Ambassador is this year would be, he's from North America actually, but he's based in Taiwan, Eric Cho. Eric Cho is doing this for us. And maybe last half an hour or so, he's going to be singing, he'll be sharing, he'll be talking, and then he'll be engaging with the MC and possibly with the rest of us. So the last 2 hours, we call it the countdown event. Because in a normal 30-hour famine, the last 2 days at the stadium is called countdown. So we call these last 2 hours the countdown event. So we have all these exciting things going on.
Okay, fantastic. Before I let you go, Daniel, when will the event take place and how can people participate?
Thank you for asking again, because I need to get this into our minds. The event itself is 1st and 2nd August. 30 hours means 2 p.m. 1st, ending 8 p.m. 2nd. But sleeping time, can sleep. Can sleep, okay. And then go to our website, 30hourfamine.my. 30 as in 30, one word. 30hourfamine.my. You can check out our programs. You can check out how to register, which is a simple process. And I'm urging those who are listening in who may not, for whatever reason, want to participate as a participant, you may want to just give an amount. We are very thankful. And these are for beneficiaries who are even more vulnerable because of the pandemic.
I hope your event is a huge success. It's for a good cause. Let's try and gather as many participants as possible. Thank you so much for joining me today,
Mr. Chen. Thank you very much.
That was Daniel Boy, the CEO of World Vision Malaysia. And we were having a chat about fighting poverty and hunger through fasting and what we can expect from 30-hour famine in 2020, which will be held virtually. So if you missed any part of this conversation, you can check out our podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or on Spotify. I'm Darshan Johan, and this has been Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.